Hello, this is Atta Durakan with the Decatur Herald and Review for Tuesday, January 19th, 2021, coming to you from my home studio. We start on the front page, COVID, the local impact, Macon County moves to Tier 1. Limited indoor dining allowed, officials welcome news. That's written by the Herald and Review. Decatur, after days of mixed messages about how restaurants in Macon County can operate when it comes to indoor dining, the state came through Monday with news everyone wanted to hear. Macon County and the rest of Region 6 jumped to Tier 1, meaning limited indoor dining is allowed, according to a news release from the Illinois Department of Public Health. Governor J.B. Pritzker, in a tweet, said the new mitigation levels are effective immediately. This doesn't mean we've won our battle against COVID-19, so please keep taking the proven precautions that keep us safe, Pritzker said. Under Tier 1, indoor service is limited to 25% capacity of a restaurant or bar that serves food or 25 persons per room, and no tables exceeding 4 people indoors. Outdoor delivery and takeout service continues under updated hours. Meetings, events, and gatherings can include up to 25 guests or 25% capacity, and most recreation, fitness centers, and outdoor activities can resume. The region has been under Tier 3 restrictions since November 20th, which prohibited indoor food and drink service, video gaming, and limited the size of gatherings. Tier 1 requires a region to meet the following metrics. 1. A test positivity rate below 8% for 3 consecutive days, as measured by the 7-day rolling average, and 2, greater than or equal to 20% available staffed ICU and medical surgical hospital beds for 3 consecutive days on a 3-day rolling average, and 3, no sustained increase in the number of people in the hospital with COVID-19 for 7 out of 10 days on a 7-day average. The news came just days after the Macon County Board amended its food sanitation ordinance to allow for limited indoor dining, a move that went against state restrictions and limited the county health department's ability to enforce the state rules. The Decatur City Council discussed similar action last week. The City Council was due to meet Tuesday evening to debate the issue again and take a vote, potentially opening them up to financial and legal retaliation if they had gotten out ahead of the state and defied Pritzker's COVID-19 mitigation orders. But now that is water under the virus bridge, and there were a lot of relieved and smiling faces in and around the council's Civic Center headquarters Monday afternoon as the Tier 1 announcement became known. "Oh, it's very good news, and I am so happy to hear it," said Councilman Pat McDaniel. "It's good news not only for the council, but also for the citizens of Decatur, and especially our businesses." McDaniel stressed that we must all still wear our masks and practice social distancing and not let our guard down while the mass vaccination program gets a chance to ramp up. Deputy City Manager John Kinseth said he was delighted by the state's action and breathing a sigh of relief that the city will now not have to choose between trying to ease the financial strains on businesses and potentially defying the state. Tier 1 is great news, and importantly, there is not going to be the negative repercussions for the city in challenging the governor or moving forward faster than the state would otherwise allow, Kinseth said. Macon County Board Chairman Kevin Greenfield said the state's announcement was the best news in a long time. "We tried to get some of the businesses open, some of the restaurants open, giving people a chance to try to survive," he said, "but boy, this will help them a lot, I tell you. I'm sure glad to see the governor go from Tier 3 to 1. Hopefully we can get these businesses back and get them going." The county action was taken as other counties surrounding Macon County were offering a blind eye to businesses ignoring the state restrictions and allowing indoor dining. Leah Stukens, owner of Coney McCain's in downtown Decatur, said it's encouraging that this is going to happen. Stukin said her first concern has always been the health and safety of my staff and customers. "The restaurant has only been open for carryout and limited delivery service since November. in line with Pritzker's orders, despite some other businesses bucking them. I knew that our numbers were going down, and I was hoping we were going to get to this point, she said. Though the new mitigation levels take effect immediately, Stukin said she's not going to rush and open tomorrow or anything, noting it will take a few days to get ready to welcome customers back inside. Macon County Health Department Administrator Brandy Binkley said the ability to move to Tier 1 is good, allowing for less restrictions. However, I think it's important to note that this does not mean the risk associated with some of these activities is gone, she said. People should still ensure they are following public health guidance and taking precautionary measures to prevent the spread of illness. We do not want these metrics to move in a negative direction. Again, to that point, Macon County health officials announced on Monday a man in his 80s has died from COVID-19. The death brings the total of Macon County residents who have died from the virus to 166. Additionally, the department reported 92 newly confirmed cases of coronavirus since Saturday, bringing the total of positive cases to 8,893 since the pandemic began. As for the health department, how the health department will proceed under the new restrictions, Binkley said, we will follow our complaint process and provide education and support to all businesses as we have throughout this process. Pritzker earlier this month said the state was moving toward fewer restrictions after January 15th. As of Monday, all but two regions had moved out of Tier 3. Joining Region 6 in Tier 1 is Region 1. Regions 8, 9, 10, 11 were moved to Tier 2. Regions 3 and 4 returned to Phase 4 of the Restore Illinois plan. State health officials cited the launching of multiple healthcare staffing contracts to increase hospital staffing as one of the reasons it was prepared to make the adjustments. Hospital leaders and local health departments have communicated to IDPH that their primary capacity challenge is the need for additional staffing and stressed that state-facilitated staffing contracts will be critical in addressing this challenge. With this surge staffing problem, IDPH and hospital leaders feel confident that metrics can safely move away from utilizing medical surgical bed limits to move across mitigation tiers, allowing more regions to advance. Hospital leaders have made clear the importance of staffing in their continued response to this pandemic and conveyed that staffing contracts will be extraordinarily valuable in their ability to meet the needs of their communities, said IDPH Director Dr. Ngozi Ezike. We are pleased to see most of our regions move out of Tier 3 mitigations with this change, and it is critical that we maintain this progress. With new variants of COVID-19 spreading, it is more important than ever to follow the public health guidance that keeps people safe, wear your mask, and watch your distance. Kinsis said the best hope for long-term salvation from the virus is vaccination and scaling up the level of herd immunity that will flow from it. He said Illinois is rolling out its vaccination program faster than many other areas, but he said that he can't help feeling frustrated that overall the shot in the arm we all need isn't happening faster nationwide. I don't know, honestly don't know what the issue is, said Kinseth, who said he reads news reports that nationally 32 million vaccine shots have been distributed, but only 12 million have actually been given. Okay, we move next on to Together Decatur. Making a difference. Actions speak louder than words for a group. Walk it like we talk it. This article is by Donette Beckett. Decatur, the poetic title of the volunteer group Walk It Like We Talk It, explains its mission clearly. The group's message isn't just about making the world a better place. It involves action. Small activities may include purchasing blankets. More energetic activities include delivering the blankets to individuals who need them. Dominique Bates-Smith, Walk It Like We Talk It co-founder, saw a need during a year filled with struggles. A 2019 Millikan University graduate and an employee of Newhoff Media, Bate Smith has worked with various teams and organizations. I've seen so many people step up and decide they want to do things in the community, she said. With her connections, Bate Smith knew she could help. I've just wanted to give back, she said. Bate Smith and Walk It Like We Talk It co-founder Cameron Harris, 20, took the initiative to encourage their friends and others their age to join the group. Millikan University students were a focus, but it could have been anybody in our age group, Harris said. Chicago native Dewan Sparkman, 20, is a junior at Millikan University. Walk It Like We Talk It is designed to bring change to Sparkman's new community, he said. We feel we can help a certain group out with something, like a church that's in need of volunteers, he said. Sparkman and others have often worked at the Good Samaritan Inn to help those in need. The social service agency was affected during the pandemic, with many of their volunteers staying home. Usually the people that serve the food are in their 60s. That is some of the people that were most at risk when COVID first hit, Sparkman said. So we just stepped up to the plate and helped them out, getting the food out to them, to the community, helping them prepare the food, washing dishes, anything we could do to help them. One of their most recent activities continued their desire to help those less fortunate. Sparkman and Bate Smith gathered volunteers as well as blankets, food, face masks, hand sanitizers, and gloves, and traveled around the community to distribute the goods to those living on the streets. We just want to make sure that we know that they know we have not forgotten about them, Bate Smith said about the recipients. Much of their funds are gotten through donations. Everything else is out of our personal money, Sparkman said. As the president of the Decatur chapter of the NAACP, Janelle Norman, 75, is impressed with the work Walk It Like We Talk It has done in its short time. They are concerned about what they can do to help the community, Norman said. And I was most impressed when they really went out to try and help the homeless. The group's organizational skills and its ability to execute its plans proved to Norman they will make a change. Not just talk about it, but do it, she said. And we are talking about young people who are invested in this community. With more than 50 years in Decatur, Norman has been part of many groups creating social change. When she calls and needs some support or advice, I'm willing to give it, Norman said about Bate Smith. But you get to walk a lot of different paths. The idea for a group began during the summer of 2020, watching young adults take initiative during the Black Lives Matter movement and other community service events encouraged Bate Smith to organize a group to help others. She called upon Harris and Sparkman to reach out to college students. They brought people together who wanted to make a difference through change in action. To make that change, they realized they needed assistance and connections from elected officials. We needed certain people in office that were willing to listen to us, Bate Smith said. They found their first motivation for change. We decided to get young people out to vote, Bate Smith said. We didn't care what their political affiliation was. The future Walk It Like We Talk It group attended the walk to the polls in November. We didn't have a name for our group yet, Bate Smith said. More people joined the volunteer group, ready to make the change they often spoke of. In just a few months, the Walk It Like We Talk It has approximately 100 members. Volunteers continued to join them at events, so why not keep it Walk It Like We Talk It for now, Bates Smith said. Community improvement was the general focus. After the election, we have a lot we want to see change here in our hometown, Harris said. Meetings are virtual through Facebook posts and other social media. Every message that we have towards each other is relevant and is a call to action, Taylor said. Although the organizers accept all ages, Norman suggests young people get involved in Walk It Like We Talk It and other active groups because they are the future leaders of this community, she said. For similar groups, COVID restrictions have altered how they operate. However, the virus has not stopped Walk It Like We Talk It from moving forward. The slower speed can be an advantage, according to Norman. That has been very positive for them to actually think it through, organize it, then get the necessary means to carry it out, she said. Bate Smith considers Terrence Tat Taylor, Community Foundation of Macon County's Director of Community Investment, a mentor for the group. Dominique is being humble, Taylor said. She has been small but mighty. She makes it happen. The volunteers communicate through Facebook and other forms of social media. Events and activities are planned each month. The group encourages others to speak their voices for important issues. When we collectively come together, there is nothing that we can't accomplish, Taylor said. That's what this group is all about. The response from the public has been positive, Harris said. A lot of people in the community were looking for people like us to get involvement going, she said. We've opened their eyes. And there's a sidebar here. Walk It Like We Talk It. To learn more about Walk It Like We Talk It, visit the Facebook page. It's a photo here. Dominique Bates Smith, Walk It Like We Talk It co-founder, right, is joined by Dewan Sparkman, left, and Saran Pettis as they walk through Decatur Central Park for less fortunate residents who could benefit from food and other weather-related items. Like It, Walk It Like We Talk It is a group of local young people looking to make a difference in the community through outreach activities. And all of the three volunteers are carrying boxes and bags, as mentioned in the caption, of items to distribute. This photo is by Clay Jackson, Herald and Review. There's a hashtag here, another sidebar, hashtag Together Decatur. Do you know a person or of a story that exemplifies the best of Decatur? Contact Donette Beckett at 217-421-6983 or dbeckett at herald-review.com. Okay, looking for our next article here. All right, we're on local and state, page A3. Armed burglar gets probation. This article is by Tony Reed, Decatur. An armed Decatur criminal who prosecutors said was identified by his distinctive gold teeth was sentenced to 30 months probation after pleading guilty to an amended charge of attempted residential burglary. Durandi C. Warnsley, 25, had been due to face a jury trial in January, but took a plea deal negotiated by his defense attorney, Caleb Brown. Appearing before Macon County Circuit Court Judge Jeffrey Geisler on January 8th, Warnsley made the plea in return for two charges of armed home invasion, with a firearm being dropped by the Macon County State's Attorney's Office. Two additional charges of committing armed robbery were also dismissed by the judge, along with two further counts of aggravated robbery. As part of the arrangement, Geisler also sentenced Warnsley to 117 days in the Macon County Jail, but that sentence was canceled out with credit for time spent in custody since his arrest. Police reports said Warnsley and an accomplice forced their way into the home of Warnsley's ex-girlfriend and her current boyfriend on November 26, 2019. That accomplice was described as ransacking the place and stealing items, while Warnsley kept the terrified couple at gunpoint and made threats to the current boyfriend to stay away from Warnsley's, quote, baby mama, unquote. Giving evidence at an earlier preliminary hearing, Decatur Police Officer Jacob Stewart said Warnsley was masked but pulled it down at one point, exposing his distinctive dentition. Stewart said the victim recognized him immediately. Defense attorneys at the earlier hearing had tried to argue that partially relying on gold teeth for an identification was not good enough, but a judge ruled there was enough evidence to try Warnsley. Man sentenced to jail and probation, Tony Reed, Decatur. Terrence D. Lowe, the Decatur man who strangled his girlfriend, injured her mouth by shoving his hand into it, and then desecrated the keepsakes of her dead baby, was sentenced to 90 days in jail and placed on probation for 24 months. Lowe was also ordered to undergo an anger management evaluation by Macon County Circuit Court Judge Jeffrey Geisler during a sentencing hearing Friday. The defendant, represented by defense attorney Dave Ellison, had pleaded guilty to a charge of aggravated domestic battery and a Class 2 felony. A sworn affidavit from Decatur Police said the injured and terrified 19-year-old girlfriend had called police on the night of the attack December 6th after fleeing the apartment where she had been assaulted. Officers accompanied her back there and found her dead child's keepsakes, including a small heart-shaped pillow, knitted blanket, pictures, hospital bracelets, tiny footprints on paper, and a stuffed elephant dumped in the sink and soaked in floor cleaner. The heart pillow her deceased child had last laid their head on was also burned at the bottom, said Officer Kimberly Cheney. These items are irreplaceable as the child is deceased and cremated. The girlfriend is quoted as telling police she had earlier gotten into an argument with Lowe, who is the father of her late child, and that is when he had attacked her. She had described being choked for 35 seconds, during which she was unable to speak or yell for help. She said he then put his hand in her mouth and was scratching, pulling on the inside of her right cheek while pulling her cheek outward, telling her to shut up, said Cheney. She said he then pulled her by her hair into the living area of the home, and she was able to get away from him. The police affidavit noted the woman had scratches and cuts on the outside of her neck, along with chunks of skin missing on the inner right cheek and a scratch on her right upper side gums in her mouth. Lowe was quoted in the affidavit as admitting to police he had destroyed the deceased child's keepsakes. Passing sentence, the judge ruled that Lowe was not eligible for day credit while serving his custodial sentence in the Macon County Jail, but he did give him credit for the 40 days he already spent in custody. Mount Zion Odd Fellows donate $2,000 to Scouts. This article is by Valerie Wells, Mount Zion. Mount Zion Odd Fellows Lodge 300 donated $2,000 to Boy Scouts Troop 43, Cub Scouts Pack 43, and Venturing Crew 343. Odd Fellows Noble Grand J. Woodrum said the lodge members knew the Scouts had lost fundraising opportunities like its annual Christmas tree sale due to the pandemic and wanted to help. The lodge's 12 days of Christmas raffle provided the funds. The Lodge's webpage describes the organization's mission as supporting charities and nonprofits throughout the community. The money will be divided among the three groups of Scouts and used to pay for insurance, trailer licenses, propane, Boy Scouts of America fees, and Scout recognition awards, badges, and rank advancement, so the funds the Scouts raise can go to camping and activities. There's a really nice photo here of a beautiful day, bright blue sky, trees in the background. It's called Water Jump. Javel Hill, 21, performs an ollie trick over a rain puddle on Monday at the skate park in Fairview Park. Hill is from Decatur and has been skating for over a year. This article's by Clay Jackson, Herald and Review. Okay. Looking for our next article here, if you bear with me. We are on to the Nation and World page, A8. Man hid in airport for 3 months, Associated Press, Chicago. A California man who told police that the coronavirus pandemic left him afraid to fly has been arrested on charges that he hid in a secured area at Chicago O'Hare International Airport for 3 months. Aditya Singh, 36, is charged with felony criminal trespass to a restricted area of an airport and misdemeanor theft after he was arrested Saturday. At a court hearing on Sunday, a judge ruled that the Orange, California man could be released if he paid $1,000, but said that Singh was prohibited from setting foot in the airport. As of Monday morning, Singh remained in the Cook County Jail. Assistant Public Defender Courtney Smallwood said Singh does not have a criminal record. She also said it was unclear why Singh, who is unemployed, came to Chicago or if he has ties to the area. During the hearing, Assistant State's Attorney Kathleen Haggerty said that Singh was spotted by two United Airlines employees who asked him for identification, the Chicago Tribune reported. Singh lowered his mask and showed a badge that actually belonged to an operations manager at the airport who had reported it missing in late October, Haggerty said. The employees called police who took Singh into custody. Singh was, quote, scared to go home due to, quote, COVID, unquote, Haggerty said, and told authorities that he'd found the badge and that other passengers at the airport had given him food. Before she granted Singh bail, Cook County Judge Susanna Ortiz was clearly troubled that someone could remain in a secured area for so long at the airport without anyone noticing. The court finds these facts and circumstances quite shocking for the alleged period of time that this occurred, the judge said. Being in a secured part of the airport under a fake ID badge allegedly based upon the need for airports to be absolutely secure so that people feel safe to travel, I do find those alleged actions make him a danger to the community. Singh is scheduled to return to court January 27th. Okay, let's wrap up the first half hour with the WCIA four-day forecast on page B8, the weather page. Today, partial sunshine, high of 32, wind west-northwest 7 to 14. Tonight, low of 21, partly cloudy, wind west 7 to 14. Wednesday, mostly sunny, high of 38, low of 30, wind northwest 15 to 20. Thursday, clouds and sun, breezy. A bit higher temperature, though, 44 for the high and low of 22, wind west 12 to 25. Friday, mostly sunny and colder, high of 30, low of 15, wind northwest 7 to 14. The regional outlook, we are going to continue seeing a few snow flurries flying around the area after they began Monday night throughout the day on Tuesday before high pressure develops and brings some sunshine and higher temperatures. Okay, well, that brings us to the end of the first half hour of the Decatur Herald and Review for Tuesday, January 19th, 2021. We'll take a break now, but please stay with us and return for the second half hour of the Decatur Herald and Review for Tuesday, January 19th, 2021.